Feliz Cinco de Mayo. El Señor sea con vosotros. Follow the leader. Stay in the lines. What will people think of you, of what you've done this time? Go with the crowd. Surely somebody knows why we're all wearing the emperor's clothes. Play it safe. Play by the rules. Or don't play at all. What if you lose? That's not the secret, but I know what is. Everybody dies, but not everyone lives. I'm going to ride like I've got the cops on my tail. I'm going to live my life like I'm out on bail. I'm going to be out front, going to blaze a trail. I'm going to cross that line. Everybody freeze. Don't step over the line. Don't stand up. They'll shoot down the first one who tries. Try to change the world. They'll think you're out of your mind. Revolutions start when someone crosses the line. They want us to lie down, give in to the lie. Nothing has to change and no one has to die. That's not the secret, but I know it is. Everybody dies, but not everyone lives. Band? Anybody know? Super Chick? I think that this band has a fairly good understanding of what it means to cross the line. The singer presents one side of it, play it safe, play by the rules. However, she also believes, or she doesn't even believe that, she believes in crossing the line. She implies that the only way one can change the world is if he crosses the line. Well, is that really true? Is that what God thinks? The United States was established because people crossed the line. And now, of course, it's against law to take up armed conflict against the United States. So I got to wondering, when is crossing the line okay and when is it wrong? The thinking of many is this, that crossing the line is okay if it serves my purpose. The fact of the matter is, this is probably what accounts for most crossing. Someone in authority makes a rule or a law that hinders me from doing what I want to do, and therefore I'm going to cross the line. So the question is then, well, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you desire? Are your desires self-centered? Or are they centered elsewhere, outside of yourself? In the fifth chapter of Galatians, we read, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Before the Spirit of God entered into our lives, we were completely self-centered. The will of the flesh dominated our thoughts, our words, our actions. What will be good for me? That was the thinking. What will make me richer, more powerful, more popular? However, this was not the way God intended it to be. When he created Adam and Eve, he made them in his own image. Their thoughts and desires, therefore, were focused outside of themselves, toward God. Righteousness, holiness. Just like God, their desires centered outside of themselves. Love was constantly reaching outward. Outward toward God, outward toward one another. Once self-love entered into the picture, then there was sin. And so it was that Eve and Adam crossed the line and ate the forbidden fruit, thus plunging all of mankind into sin and death, into a self-centered attitude. God, however, reversed this by sending His Son as the Savior. Christ, with His mind centered on the will of His Father, on the salvation of other people, Christ obeyed the rules of God and man. Under no circumstances did He cross the line. He even allowed those in authority to take Him and crucify Him. As a result of this, as a result of His life, perfect righteousness is now counted to our credit. As a result of His death, holiness is bestowed upon us, for we have been separated from our sins. And after rising from the dead, ascending into heaven, Jesus sent forth His Spirit to rescue us individually and to restore the image of God within us. Through baptism, through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit entered into our hearts, converted us, creating faith in Christ, so that we are now redeemed, restored, forgiven through Jesus' precious blood. Now the Spirit is at work through that same word, strengthening us in this struggle with the self-centered flesh that we have. And so we find ourselves in the middle of an ongoing battle that lasts our whole life, where the flesh is desiring against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit tells us, "Let each one of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so now that's the new way of thinking. It isn't a way of thinking that says, "I've got to cross that line." The Spirit has generated this within us. Crossing the line is out of the picture. Rather, we think like Christ. We center our love on God and our neighbor. It's not a matter of what is best for me, what will make me richer or more popular. It's what is best for the glory of God and the welfare of our neighbor. Furthermore, it then becomes clear to us that the one who's really in control is God. And if we want to change the world, He's the one that we look to. He can change at any time that He chooses. If there's something that we can do without crossing the line, then go ahead and do it. But beyond this, leave it to God. We pray. O Holy Spirit, help us in our struggle against our flesh. Help us not to cross the lines which You have laid out for our good. Grant that the only lines we cross will be those drawn by Satan. For Jesus' sake, grant this. Amen. And we conclude with hymn 417, verses 5 and 6.